This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm speaking to Vijay Vaishwaran. He is the economist, editor for Energy and Green Innovation. He's also the author of Power to the People. But we go to a moment in time in the 21st century. I learned this in a new podcast called Game Changers that you can find at the Economist website. Very entertaining. Vijay participates with other voices. The moment that Vijay was introduced to Elon Musk, the setting, the Playboy Mansion, Los Angeles, the time, late in the evening, and Elon Musk is described as sitting by himself, looking nerdy, geeky. Vijay, you were there. You were the other correspondent. And I understand Mr. Musk spoke for 3 or 4 hours. This is 15 years ago, 2006. What did he tell you that night that led you to believe there was a future, although it seemed at the moment a little, I think the word you use is delusional? Tell us about it.
Right. So, yes, you got the details right, John. I'd heard about this guy, Elon Musk, and I found a way to meet him, and a mutual acquaintance introduced us under cover of darkness at the Playboy Mansion during one of Hugh Hefner's parties. And I didn't quite know what to expect. And I thought, boy, is this guy some kind of extravagant partier? And it turned out he was not. As I mentioned in the podcast, he was sitting there by himself, totally uninterested in the crazy goings on around him, reflecting. And when I sat with him, I knew the questions I had for him. What is it you're trying to do with this company called SpaceX? And why did you invest in this electric car company called Tesla? And people talk about you as though you're a genius, but some people think you're crazy. And that set him off. His eyes lit up, and you could see that was the party he wanted to be a part of. He had been dreaming and imagining for years, and he told me his dreams at that time, we need a plan B for civilization. We're screwing up this planet through climate change and other ways. He had a three-pronged strategy: clean energy, solar power, for which he created a company called Solar City that didn't do too well. Ultimately, it was folded back into Tesla. Tesla for electric cars, because he wants to revolutionize transportation, get us off of oil, and SpaceX to revolutionize rockets in space so we can colonize other planets to create a plan B to save humanity. And you could not help but think that this guy is either a true herald of the future or completely insane. And it turns out from lots of studies of successful entrepreneurs that there is something of a God complex as well as some degree of delusion among those who are very successful. And it's not surprising. If you think about it, most people are practical and realistic, and they look at the odds in entrepreneurship, especially radical entrepreneurship of the kind he's thinking about back then, and say, that's never going to work. And they leave it to someone else. Whereas the true entrepreneur with verve will say, there is a better world, and I am uniquely suited to transform the world against all the odds, and I will succeed. And it's that bit of delusion or grandeur, self-aggrandizement, that you can call it what you like, chutzpah, that is the essence that connects all of the great entrepreneurs that succeed.
At this point, this is 2006, I believe, Tesla is part of the conversation, but marginal, very marginal. I can remember covering some sort of festival or a presentation in California where the important thing for Tesla was to say that Arnold Schwarzenegger had put down a deposit for one of their sports cars. However, in January 2004, I learned from the podcast you participated in, Vijay, wonderfully. In January 2004, the men who owned Tesla, who had founded Tesla, and there's a history there as well. This is a chain of ideas being passed on from inventor to entrepreneur to inventor to people who have ideas to work with teamwork. We've already talked about Exxon and having a lab that helped develop the lithium-ion battery. Tesla's leaders, Martin and Mark, had gone to Elon Musk in January of 2004 and said, what about it? Elon said, great idea. So he joined the board in 2004. He's now, in 2006, talking about this as a vision of the future. But at that point, you'd have to say that Tesla was marginal, marginal, marginal to the big car companies. However, I learned that General Motors had the same vision. Electric was the future. But the EV1, what happened to it, Vijay? Why is General Motors not Tesla?
Well, 10 years before Elon Musk got his big idea and did something about it, General Motors had put out an electric car, as you rightly say, EV1, that was very popular in Southern California and some other pockets of the U.S. I mean, it wasn't a mass market success like the Ford F-150 pickup truck or something, but it was successful for its time and place and had very loyal adherents. But the company decided that it no longer wanted to be in the electric car business. They made a commercial decision that if this got too successful, it would undermine their core business. And this is a problem that the great Harvard Business School professor Clay Christensen described as disruptive innovation. And that is often new ideas come from the margin that have the potential to upend and destroy the core business. And it's very rare that an incumbent successful company will eat its own lunch, will destroy its own core business. And that's exactly what GM decided. They said, we're going to get rid of this car, kill this project. The decision was made on high. But they didn't just phase it out. They had these cars on leases. They actually clawed them back out of the pleading fingers of car lovers. They took the cars back, and there was some secret footage that emerged that showed them taking them to a desert in Nevada and crushing them. They wanted all evidence gone that these cars existed. And that evidence and other tidbits came in a movie called Who Killed the Electric Car, which I highly recommend. It sort of documents the mindset of Detroit at that time towards disruptive technologies. And that's part of the reason why Elon Musk was able to succeed. Detroit could have made its own successful electric car. It could have transitioned. But the very mindset of a successful, profitable incumbent like the big oil companies, like the big car companies, is they will not give up their current easy profits in favor of something hard, which is to come up with a radical idea that eats their own lunch. And that's what Elon Musk did. He forced the industry to respond.
We mention again and again the lithium-ion battery. It has a wonderful history of where it came from to replace the lead-acid battery or the nickel-iron battery of the last 100 years. The joy is that it's here now and that it's developing very quickly, people having confidence in it. And we don't have time to do all the wonderful history, Vijay. You've done that in your book. You do it all the time. And we'll return to this because I learned a lot. But just in the closing remarks, is there a frontier right now being developed that's beyond lithium ion? Is there a next step to this, Vijay? We have about 2 minutes.
I think for the moment, lithium ion is the most promising technology. And the questions of scarcity and so on will be overcome because it is more widespread than we acknowledge now. As you and I have discussed, at places like Ukraine and other parts of the world, it will be discovered. It will be brought to market. And also it can be recycled. And so that's what we'll find. We'll find a vibrant recycling of old catalytic converters, electrolysis machines, but also other forms of usages. And so I think there's not a shortage in the long term. Money will come. Technologies will emerge. Efficiency will increase. I think in the very, very long term, we may very well see alternative forms of propulsion, like hydrogen fuel cells, for example, is something that is a potential in the long term, not in the short term. But that's a conversation for another day.
Vijay, just here in a moment. Did electric vehicles become important because the idea was so attractive to human beings, or did electric vehicles become important because somebody invented it? In other words, is it the idea that leads the technology or the technology that gives the idea?
You need both. And just to give an example of this, Thomas Edison went to his grave convinced that electric cars were going to be the future. He and Henry Ford became great friends in their later years, and they worked together to try to promote electric cars, and they failed. And so just to give an idea that technology and the application and scaling of technology and commercialization actually do matter more than the brilliance of an idea. The internal combustion engine took off for 100 years. It's only when you began to see not only Elon Musk, but many other people working on this to bring together battery cars and advancing those technologies that it became viable and a commercial model built around them. So really, it's not the idea, it's the innovation that matters.
Vijay Vajaswaran, The Economist. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.